Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
So for anybody who doesn't know me, my name is Dawn Bray. I am the pastoral care pastor here at Awake. I've actually been attending Awake over 15 years. I'm not sure exactly. It's been a long time. So this morning, I want to share with you about something that I feel like the Lord has been speaking to my heart. He's been talking to me about what is scripted on our hearts. What is the internal belief system that we're operating from? What's the operating system? If we think about a computer has to have an operating system that it operates out of. There's input that gets put in, and then the output comes out of that. So is that internal belief system the truth of who God is, the truth about who I am made in His image? Am I in faith? Am I in this place where everything that I'm operating out of is truth and from God? Or have I allowed the things that have happened to me in my life, unanswered prayer, tribulations, difficult things, have I allowed circumstances to pull me out of this place? And is there something inside of my heart that rises up once in a while that actually is not what God is saying about a situation? So let's pray. God, I just thank you. Lord, would you stir our hearts this morning? Lord, in every place that we need faith and truth to arise. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words and the language to share the things that you've put on my heart with clarity. And Lord, we surrender this time to you. Lord, and we just ask you to speak to us, to bring what you have for us all this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, in this life, we were not promised that we would come to the Lord and then everything would be perfect. Actually, if we look at John 16:33, Jesus speaking, he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So a lot of what I do in my life and what I feel like really is the calling of God on my life is that I minister to people. And that's been what's been on my heart for many, many years. I had my own healing journey, and God brought me out of just growing up fearful and all of the things in my life that were hard and difficult. And he's brought me into places of freedom. And so my heart was like, everybody needs to be free. Everybody needs to experience this freedom that God offers us. And so as I've sought the Lord over a period of time, and as I've ministered to people, I do see people get free. And I do see God come and heal. But there is this core inside of me. There's this passion. It's like I'm always going after the Lord saying, God, everybody's not healed. Everyone is not seeing the breakthrough that they need. Everything that you promised us is not happening. How can we go after you for this space? How can we receive from you every single thing that Jesus died to give us? How can we stand in faith when there's something going on in our life and we need an answer? How can we have scripted on our heart the truth so that we can step out and take action in faith and see God meet us there? And so I go after God. I mean, this is like a daily question for me. Lord, what can you teach me about this today? How can we find breakthrough for this place? What is it that you want to show us that's going to help us find greater revelation? You know, I believe that there are missing pieces that are hidden in scriptures. I believe there's revelation. There's always layers and layers of revelation in the scripture, and that we can seek the Lord for that more. We can seek him for the answers. When something doesn't turn out the way we expected, we can go after him to say, Lord, what can I learn from this? How can I receive from you in a greater way? Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search it out." And I feel like that's what my heart is about this subject. Because we at Awake, there are prophetic words over this house of being a healing hub, a place that people are going to come to receive healing. There are words about, even a few weeks ago, where there was a word about step out in the places where you've shied away, where you've shrunk back, because I'm going to meet you there. And in those places, you're going to see the things that Jesus did. You're going to see the greater things. I'm going to meet you there. And so I get all stirred up about these things. One of the reasons I think I get so stirred up is because I believe the word. So let's look at some of what the word says. John 14, verses 12 through 14. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Well, if I believe this scripture, which I do, and it's literal and I believe it, then there's a tension, right? There's a tension between what I've seen and what I haven't seen. There's a tension in that space of not seeing the fullness of what God has promised us. In the Passion Translation, this verse, verse 12, says, "I tell you this timely truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father." I love that it talks about faith, believing in him, because it comes to that place about what is scripted on our hearts. Matthew 10, verses 7 through 8, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, "As you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven has come near.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy. Cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." So one more verse here, John 16, verses 14 through 18. So Jesus later, when he commissions the disciples, it says, "Later he appeared to the 11 disciples themselves as they were reclining at the table. He reprimanded them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed, right? That is us. We are the ones. And has been baptized will be saved. And the one who has not believed will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those," will accompany us, right? "That in my name you will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if you drink any deadly poison, it will not harm you. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So we're reading the scripture and we're seeing that these are the things that we were promised that we would walk in, every one of us. And I felt like the Lord spoke this to my heart as like a piece of this puzzle that I'm continually going after him about. He said this: when your heart is scripted with truth and what you believe in your heart aligns to my promises, then every word that you pray will have weight and create with me. Your heart is an anchor point that creates reality. What we believe in our heart matters. When our heart is scripted with the word of God and what we believe aligns with his promises, we will pray more powerful prayers. How many times have you seen, like for me, a situation where if I know that the Father just pointed something out and he's saying, I want you to step out and pray for this person, something rises up in me. And I'm like, I know, because this is what the Father's doing, that if I step into this place, I will see him move. And there's this faith that rises up. And the Lord is saying, I want you to have that in every moment. I want you to have that in every space. And it is about knowing what he's doing, but it's also about just what is coming out of our heart. What are we putting in? What do we believe? What have we allowed to come in that doesn't belong there? So our thoughts matter. Our spoken words matter. What is scripted on our hearts matters. And it's not about what I believe here, right? I can memorize a scripture, and I can speak that scripture out of my head. But it's when it comes into my heart, it's when it starts burning inside of my heart, that there's like an explosion in the spirit realm of what I'm speaking and what I'm believing coming together with what God is saying. So I just want to give a little bit of an example about that. You know, I believe that we can know a scripture, like I said, we can memorize it, we can know it, but it's when we experience it that it really comes alive. And so the thing that came to me about this is years ago, it'll be 12 years soon, since my husband had a stroke. And I still remember that morning. I remember going to the hospital and all the different things that were happening, and you know, you guys know that my husband is healed and here, and, you know, God did an amazing thing. But during that time, I had a lot of choices to make in how was I going to navigate this space. And I needed only scripted on my heart the things of the Lord. I needed to focus in those moments on what is the Lord speaking to me personally in the moment. What is in the word that I can grab hold of, right, that's scripted in my heart. And what happened is in that place of me just focusing on God and the truth is that he put me in this amazing bubble of peace. Like there was so much peace. It didn't matter about the circumstances. It didn't matter what was happening. It didn't matter what the doctor said. You know, it was, things were not being said that were good. Things were very, very difficult. They weren't sure, you know, if the surgery they were going to do would prevail, would create what they were looking for. You know, there were these spaces where I had a lot of opportunity to step into a place of agreement with something that was not from the Lord. But it's like he put me in this bubble of peace. And no matter what happened, I felt his presence, I felt his peace. I just knew, everything inside of me knew that everything's going to be okay because I was just wrapped in his peace. And it was this beautiful time when I experienced the scripture that says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And that's just an example for me of the places where there is a difference between speaking the word and experiencing the word. And I think the Lord has experiences for all of us where he is going to help us to have scriptures come out of the book and into our hearts and be scripted inside of us as what is true. So let's just flesh this out just a little bit more. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? As we think in our hearts, so we are. So if I wake up in the morning and I start to speak over myself, man, I'm tired today. I am so tired. Guess what kind of day I'm going to have? A tired day, right? Because I have come into agreement with something. But if I get up and I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you for another day. Thank you that you refresh us every day. Thank you for the things that you have in front of me today. And I focus on him and I move into this place with him instead of entertaining the idea of being tired, then I'm going to see a different outcome. And I think as simple as that sounds, it happens in bigger and bigger ways. So Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. And have you ever noticed that if there's anything in your heart that you're not aware of, it will come out? It might not come out in the best way, right? If there's anything inside of us, if we get into the pressure cooker, as I like to call it, right, what is inside is what's going to come out. So the Lord just kept saying, what is scripted on your heart? So James 1, verses 2 through 8. So consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's an ouch for me. Like, that's one of those verses you read and you're like, wow, ouch. Right? Because what this is saying is that we need to be in faith. We must be in faith without doubting in these places where we're asking God. So, you know, have we ever struggled with that? I certainly have. I mean, I have found myself at times, maybe I'm praying and what's coming out of my mouth, right, is what I'm wanting to happen and what I'm believing for. But I realize that this little tiny thought, this doubt, it's like, where did that come from? Well, maybe the enemy, maybe internal operating system, right? But this doubt will just try to come in. And if we turn toward it and we agree with that, then we're going to go off in the wrong direction. And so a lot of times when we're praying, right, I pray out loud. I verbally process a lot with the Lord. So as I'm speaking out these things, right, the enemy knows what I'm saying. The enemy knows what I'm pressing into. And a lot of times there'll be this realm that'll try to come in of doubt. And so we are to not entertain that. We're to take that captive when it comes. So, you know, in that space, I think the Lord would say to me, Dawn, are your eyes on me? Right? Catch that thought, cast it down. Right? Don't agree with that. That's not me. Some other things that the Lord and I talk about sometimes is just, do I really see who I am in him, the way he created me? Like, sometimes I don't think that we really understand who we are. And we're going to talk a little bit more about all of these little areas. But are we responding in truth and faith, or are we reacting to the enemy's lies and allowing this doubt and this unbelief to come in? It makes me think about the scripture where there was the man that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Right? I think sometimes we're doing everything we know to stand in belief, but we need to say to the Lord, help me where I'm trying to step over here a little bit. One more scripture that I wanted to share is Hebrews 6:19. This is another one about the heart. It tells us that the heart is like an anchor point and creates reality. So for a little bit of context, I'm going to start in verse 13. So Hebrews 6:13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear an oath by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply you. And so having waited patiently, he obtained the promise. For people swear by an oath by one greater than themselves. and with them an oath serving as confirmation, as an end to every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring to even more to demonstrate to the heirs of the promise, again, the heirs of the promise is us, the fact that his purpose is unchangeable, confirmed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to hold firmly to the hope set before us. And then this is verse 19. The hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and reliable, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, becoming a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So when it says this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, that word is about our feelings, our desires, our heart, our soul. It's about that internal system that we have. So we are to be anchored in this place of Jesus, in this place of God, the same God who made Abraham the promise that came true, and we are here as part of the seed, as part of that promise. So I believe that in this space, it just comes back to that place of the heart, right? That we are to anchor our soul, anchor our heart, have our everything scripted on our heart that is in belief with what he says. So Romans 10:9, speaking of salvation, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So here again, we see that it's the words of our mouth, what is in our heart, and they're coming together to bring an action, to bring something, to hold it together almost. So now I want to talk about what are the things that should be scripted on our heart. What are the things that are foundational for us to know that we should not be able to be shaken out of? So God is good is probably one of the first ones that comes to my mind. God is good. God is faithful. Psalm 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his faithfulness is everlasting. What's another truth? What about God hears us? He hears us when we pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things you do not know. And there's so many verses, but I'm only going to give one or two here. God is love. Not only is God loving, but God is love. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not know love does not know God, because God is love. God is loving. Psalm 100:5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. So you're probably starting to think now these things that are scripted on your heart, right, about who Jesus is and who God is, who the Father is, who Holy Spirit is. So God is kind. He's gentle. He's our redeemer. He's our healer. He's provider. Right? We could just go on and on with the list of all of the things that God is. Where have we experienced God, that maybe we hear things, and like we were talking about before, in our mind, there's this space where we know that something is true, but where have we experienced this truth? Where have we really experienced it so that it's written so inside of our hearts? I think that's a really important space for us to find with the Lord. Also, just reading about these and understanding who he is. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has overcome, right? Jesus has overcome anything that we could face in life. All of the hardships, all of the trials, all of the tests. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good reputation with God and man." And Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget his benefits, who pardons all your guilt, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with favor and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." I mean, just we could just dig into the word, right, and find all of these ways that God is good. He's faithful. He's provider. He sees me. He makes a way. The breakthrough, like everything that we need is in him, and we need that scripted on our hearts, because things will come. But no matter what happens in our life, we can be brought into that bubble of peace, like I was talking about. We can be brought into a moment where what is scripted on our heart and what we know about God is greater than the situation. And we always need to look at God first before we even look at a situation, because we want his perspective and we want to see through his eyes so that we can see the outcome that he has for us. So what about our identity? This is another piece that I think is really important to be scripted on our hearts. So who are we? So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, wow, right? That is powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." We are created in his image. We're created in the very image and essence of God. Everything about who he is now, we are in this world. Right? We have been perfected by his love. And then I do have that scripture, 1 John 4:17. "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." The Passion Translation adds one word to that that says, "as he is now." And I really had been thinking about that lately. You know, sometimes I think that when we think about doing the things that Jesus did and greater things that he did than he did, that we think about Jesus when he was walking on the earth as a man. Now, he was fully God, but he was fully man. But this verse is talking about the Jesus that came, that did walk on the earth, right? But he was crucified. He was buried for 3 days, right? He was resurrected. He stayed for 40 more days. And then he ascended to the Father and is seated at the right hand, glorified. Complete victory. And it's that Jesus that as he is, so are we. right? We're not limited in that space to time, for instance, or like God is outside of time, right? God can go back into a place in our life and heal something that happened a long time ago, right? He's not limited to today. I think sometimes when we're walking along, it feels like we're in this timeline and that we can maybe only see what is present. But God will take us, you know, back to an area that needs to be healed. He'll speak into a place in our life that he wants to change what we believed about it. He's not limited, and he overcame everything. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Right, even death has been overcome by Jesus. And as he is, so are we in this world. So we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are chosen. He chose each one of us and knit us together exactly in the way that he intended. He chose us. We are his bride. We are the temple of the living God. He chose to live inside of each one of us instead of to live in a tabernacle or a temple that was created by man's hands. We walk in power and authority because of Christ in us. So our identity and what is scripted on our hearts is really important. Who God is, what his character is, who he made us to be in his image, and all that we believe about that is what needs to be so scripted on our hearts that no matter what happens around us, we're not shaken by that. And that's what the Lord's been speaking to me about. And then as those things come together, we will begin to see a shift in the way that we pray, in the way that things happen in our life. So now let's talk about what can happen to create doubt and how does confusion come and what happens for us not to just have these important things scripted on our heart. I believe unanswered prayer, disappointment, unmet expectations, right? Delayed answers in a crisis situation, praying for healing, and that person does not get healed, right? All of these things that we see in our life that are a part of life that we were told that we would have some trials and some tribulations and there would be some hard things, all of those things, there's an opportunity for us to agree with the wrong source, to agree with something that is not in God's heart. So what about not feeling seen or heard by God in a situation because something happened and you don't understand it? What about a sickness that we can't seem to overcome or something difficult of that nature in our lives? What about traumatic things that have happened to us that made us feel like, how could God have been present in that moment? Right? It escapes our ability to understand the mystery. And it's hard to live in the tension of the mystery. But sometimes there is mystery. And I just want to say that God does not make bad things happen to us. He does not just allow bad things to happen. That's not even in his nature. It's not who he is. Right? Those things happen because of sin and a fallen world. And the world that we live in and choices that have been made by generations of others, including ourselves, right? And a lot of times it's hard to be in the mystery. So questions like, why did God allow this, can actually pull us into the wrong vein. I love something that, I think it was Bill Johnson that said this, but it was, in a time of crisis, I don't need to know why something happened. That won't change it. What I do need is to experience God's presence in my heart, right? What he needed was the comfort of the presence of God that can come and change things, that can come and heal our heart, that can come and help us grieve. So for me, a lot of times the answer is not, why did something happen? It's, God, how do you want to meet me in this space that I'm in? Because knowing how it happened isn't going to change anything, but his presence will change everything. So I believe that the Lord wants to give us greater revelation of who he is, who we were created to be in his image. I think there's an invitation to align to faith that takes action. I think that knowing these things and having all of this so scripted on our hearts and then getting rid of the things that don't need to be on our hearts is what is going to help us to begin to step out into the greater things. The operating system that we have, the belief system that we're operating out of, really does make a difference. So what we believe in our hearts and what we speak out of our mouth, when they're the same, it's like they come together like an explosion of truth and faith to create the reality that was in God's heart, right? So many of the things, too, that we pray, that we think about, the things that we have a desire for, you know, the Bible talks about God giving us the desires of our heart. Well, a lot of those desires of our heart, he put them there. He made us that way. There's something that's coming out of us that's actually a way that we're made like him, and something in his heart that is coming out. So I just believe it's time, you know, and this was me with the Lord processing, and I think it's a word for everyone, that it's time for us to align and press into these things where what is scripted on our hearts is true about God. It's what he is saying. It's what he's doing. It is in alignment so that we can begin to see powerful things. We can step out. We can step out of the boat. We can, instead of shrinking back when, you know, we see an opportunity, we can step into that opportunity. And the more we do that, the more we will see the Lord come, the more we'll see breakthrough, the more we'll see healing. And there is a way that we just continue to press into that place. So what is the remedy? I mean, what if, you know, sitting here, we realize that, and I think for me, I think most everybody has been through hard things that even maybe they don't even realize have scripted something on their heart that's just not quite in alignment with what God says. So what is the remedy? I think that, you know, a heart check sometimes is good, just to say to the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my heart? I think about David. He would say, Lord, search me and know me, know my thoughts, right? Show me anything inside of me, even the things I don't know that are there. So we can ask the Lord if there's any place that we're believing a lie about who he is, about who we are, maybe even about a specific circumstance or situation that we're facing right now, and maybe we've kind of gotten into a little bit of a vein where we're not sure what the Lord is thinking. It's like, I'm not really sure what the Lord has said to me. Ask him again, because he will answer and he will give us the wisdom that we need. So we can also notice negative thoughts, like I mentioned earlier. If I am praying something and a thought tries to come in to say, that's not going to happen, right? I need to immediately grab hold of that thought and just give it to the Lord, cast it down, get rid of it, right? Because we can't allow those things to come in and to cloud what the Lord is having us say, what he's having us to pray. So in basically what we can do is we can acknowledge whatever the Lord shows us or the thought that we have. We can come out of agreement with that thought. And then we can exchange that thought with the Lord for his truth. Right? It's really simple and we can do it all the time. You know, if a thought comes in, we can just say, you know, Lord, I recognize, I just had this thought come in. Lord, this is what I thought. Lord, I come out of agreement with that. That is not what your word says. What would you like to speak to me to replace that? And it's really that simple. It's like an erasing of what shouldn't be in our hearts and a continuing to go after him to take care of anything that needs to be taken care of. So this morning, what if we just for a moment have a quick moment with the Lord and just say, you know, Lord, is there any area where in a hard time, in a difficult space, in a place of sickness, in a loss in my life, is there any place in my life where I've allowed anything to be scripted on my heart that is not true about who you are, not true about who I am, and not true about the outcome that you desire? So let's just take a moment and just see if the Lord speaks anything to your heart. And then I have a prayer that I'd like for us to all pray together that's just really simple. And I think it's something that we can take with us to continue to erase these things. So can we put up? Yes. All right. So would you guys stand with me? So let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, we desire to have your promises, your words, and your truth scripted on our hearts. Cause our words and what we believe to collide with your promises and manifest the works of Jesus and the greater things. We acknowledge that knowingly or unknowingly, we have allowed difficult circumstances, unanswered prayer, and unmet expectations to cloud our ability to see you clearly. Forgive us for any way we have allowed these things to pull us out of truth and faith. Realign us and anchor our hearts fully to you. Father, we ask you to cleanse any script that has been written on our hearts that is false and replace it with your truth. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. We decree that God is good and his love endures forever, and that by faith we will see the greater things. Amen. So I believe that the Lord, as we go, is going to show us any places in our heart where we just need to come into this alignment. And that out of that place, we're going to begin to step out. We're going to step out of the boat. We're going to step out of the places we've not before. When the Lord highlights someone in the grocery store to pray for them for healing, we're going to go for it. Right, just in our everyday walk and in everything that we do. And as we do, awake is going to see the greater things than Jesus did. I believe that. Amen. Like, it is inside of my heart to see that in this house. And I believe that this is one small piece of the puzzle that maybe will get us that one step closer to seeing every time God come through. Right? That we would lay hands on people and see them healed. That we would walk the way that Jesus did and do the greater things. Amen. Mm-hmm.